I always think one of my favorite things to talk about in the kingdom of God, because there are so many people that think they have it and they don't. Hallelujah. And that is wisdom. Amen. Don't confuse wisdom with an IQ. I went to high school. Well, I'll preface this. One of my uncles was a lifetime school teacher. I mean, he literally got out of college and started teaching, taught kids for 50 years, well, about 40 years. Just loved teaching. And of all the kids that were in his classes, one of my classmates was the smartest. He said there was nobody that I've ever taught that had a mind like this kid. And he had, just no kidding, he had a bigger head. Literally a bigger head. About anybody you saw. I mean, he just did. He almost looked like somebody, you know, that you would see on Star Trek stuff. You know, his head just was big out here. And so he ended up, just to let you know, he ended up being the head of the oceologies, all the whole thing of Florida University. Florida University. I mean, when you are the top guy in that place, in that field, you've done something. And the man didn't have enough sense to come out of a hailstorm. He go, let's see what it's like to get a hailstone in your eye. You know, he's just the stupidest guy ever. You know, but just this phenomenal mind. His dad was a soil scientist. His mom was a very intelligent lady. And they just spawned this kid that was just amazing. He had no wisdom. Amen. Just no wisdom. Then you have the other thing. You have people that don't have a lot of intellectual power that have great wisdom. Great wisdom. I had a mom come to me at our first church. We had a school there, a Christian school, and she was just the sweetest, but most common-minded person that you'd ever meet. She had an innocence about her that was just wonderful. Wanted to get her kids in school. So she said, you know, I'm not a Christian, but she said, I'd like to be, I'd like you to kind of talk to me about what you're going to teach my kid. And so I started talking to her, and at the end of it, she just wrinkled up her face and she said, so God is good. I said, yeah, God is good. And then she went the other way. And the devil's bad. I said, that's it. She said, I'll sign up. Well, I know somebody that's the head of a scientific department doesn't get that idea down in his mind yet. Amen. So don't confuse the two. You can have a very significant IQ and not have any wisdom. So I want to talk about the three T's of wisdom. The three T's of wisdom. And they are, number one is trial. Trial or trials. Number two is tests. Number three is temptations. It's not the singing group. For those of you over 20, amen. My wife said 40. All right. But those three are a big deal, and we need to know what we're dealing with in life, because everybody's going to have those three things come to them in some form. So here's what I want to do this morning. I'm going to read you this section of Scripture from the book of James, and it's in verse 13, and here's what James says. James is a half-brother of the Lord, and is a man that became very prominent in the church in Jerusalem. He was the lead pastor, we'd call it now, the senior pastor of the church in Jerusalem that came about, of course, after the day of Pentecost. So when Pentecost came along, then people started being born again for the first time in history. When you are born again, what happens to you? You get God's Holy Spirit in you. The Holy Spirit will come in you when you commit your life to God. Amen. And you believe that He is who He says He is. So they started getting born again. But as the years went by, James began to notice some things that he needed to correct in the people of God. So here's what he said in verse 13 of chapter 3 of his own book. It says this: "Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom." Now, there's some characteristics of wisdom that the Bible's going to list. And pay attention to these things. He's going to go from this, the good behavior and the gentleness of wisdom, and he's going to flip it over now into another kind of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. People that are wealthy think they know everything, and that's why they're wealthy. They don't think they're wrong about things because they have more money than most anybody else has. Now, you need to understand, I'm not saying that 100% of people that are wealthy are that way, because that is not true. God has some phenomenal people that are giving more money than you and I will ever see in 10 lifetimes every month. Okay? I'm reading a book by David Green, who founded Hobby Lobby. It's a phenomenal book. His family is determined that they are going to change this world by investing into the work, from big organizations to things that people are doing that are not a big organization at all, but it's a great idea and something that they want to support. So they literally have $1 billion coming into them to be giving away every year or so. So it's just an unbelievable thing. And there's lots of other people like that. And lots of corporations that are doing the same thing, not so much for the sake of the church, but for the sake of, as the Gates family is, health and particularly education all throughout the country and other countries as well. So they're not all bad, but he's going to go on and tell you some things that we've got to know. This wisdom, what wisdom? The arrogance, the jealousy, the lying against the truth. This wisdom Isn't that interesting that he calls it wisdom? It's a different kind of wisdom, isn't it? But it is a wisdom. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. So he says, friends, you better watch out. If you don't know what God's wisdom is, you may end up having the devil blind you to the truth, and so much so that you begin lying against the truth. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to leave this planet lying against the truth. Because, buddy, you do not want to go where you're going to go. Amen. Amen. And I want to make this perfectly clear. The Bible tells you out of the mouth of Jesus himself that God did not prepare hell for man. He prepared it for the devil and his angels. Now, if you like the devil and his angels more than you like God, you get to go with the devil and his angels. The problem is, he's going to go into a lake of fire. And he's been lying to everybody else saying, yeah, that's just what God's saying to try to get you to go to heaven. Really, hell is nothing but a cocaine party. It's just awesome. Right. Yeah. Just keep on reading in the Bible and you'll find out. His end is catastrophic. Amen. Amen. You can't imagine anything more terrifying than where the devil's headed. Amen. Unfortunately, there are going to be untold numbers of people that are going to follow him right into that lake. You don't have to. God doesn't want you to. He wants you to have the right wisdom. Amen. Then he says, this wisdom is not that which comes from above. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. So he's saying, man, if you think jealousy is going to get you anywhere, or selfish ambition, you're going to have nothing but disorder and every evil thing. See, your wisdom gets corrupted until now it's your problem. Your wisdom becomes your problem. I mean, we all could tell about 10 stories in our own life about when our wisdom became our problem. Yeah. Sometimes some of those things become a problem that you'll never solve on this planet. Your life is just done. Okay? You have no hope. So this is critically important. Now, he's going to tell you, this is what God's wisdom is. But the wisdom from above, that's God's wisdom. That's coming down from God. This wisdom is first. Here's its traits. Here's its characteristics. It's first, pure. I wonder if we even know what pure is anymore. Pure, purity, then peaceable. Well, I'll tell you how I'm going to end this thing. I'm just going to pull out a gun and kill that guy. It'll be the end of that. See, that doesn't fit peaceable. Okay? But how many know? There's people in this city right now that's all they think about. Okay, I'm going to kill that guy. 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 That's the way they think. We're going to get them. We are going to get them. Peaceable, then gentle, reasonable. How many have ever been in an argument that was reasonable? Think about that one. Full of mercy and good fruits. The last thing you will ever find in the wisdom of man or the wisdom of demons is this merciful stuff. Not going to get any mercy from anybody that doesn't have God in their heart. Amen. They all are going to want to get what you have because they think you ripped them off. Okay? This popped in mind. I got to say this. I cannot stress enough that wisdom is not selfish. He mentioned selfish ambition in here. The only thing that he mentions more than once. Selfish ambition is a big deal. Okay? So let me warn you that you and I, and I'll illustrate this in just a second, you and I can think we're right, and by every measure, we're right and be wrong. You want to see how? Watch this. Let me have this Bible right here, hon. Okay. I know this is really going to be hard. I want people on this side of the room, right down this side, I want you to close your eyes right now and don't look until I tell you to. Okay? All right. Everybody on this side, I want you to see what's on the back of this book. Okay? Don't say it. Don't say it. What's on the back? Okay? All right. You're good. All right. You guys can open your eyes. All right? And I'm going to ask you. You guys close your eyes. Over there. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. You guys get a good eye. Get a good eyeful. What's on the cover of the book? Don't say. Stop. Okay, here we go. All right, everybody on this side, what does this book look like? What's it cover? What's the cover of this book that you saw look like? No. The Holy Bible is on this side. Yeah. Blank. Blank. Blank, 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 blank. Okay. All right, somebody on this side, what's this look like? What do you mean it's the Holy Bible? They said it's blank. What did you say? What'd you guys say? It's blank. What are you guys saying? Did you see any writing on the thing? Well, who's lying? You're all right and you're all wrong. Amen. It's your perspective. God's perspective is he sees it all. He sees the whole thing. You and I see one part. And then we think we're right. And you're going, I swear before God, the thing was blank. It is blank, I swear it. Yep, but you're wrong. There's more to it on the other side that you can't see. So all of a sudden, wisdom has a whole nother side that we don't think about. And therefore, we get ourselves in the wrong kind of wisdom because we're going to fight about this because we know we're right. But you don't talk to that other person, they're going to have a whole nother perspective. And you are just going to go, these people can't even read. My gosh, how in the world can I lose this war? Okay, so here we go. There's more to come. It's gentle, it's reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. Do you know that it's a proven fact in psychology that most people attack the thing they do the most in others. They'll attack what they do more than anything else in their life. They'll attack it when they see it in you. Have you ever had anybody come up and say, I tell you what, I wouldn't believe that guy right there. I wouldn't believe him, as my uncle used to say. He said, I only believe half of what I see and none of what I hear. I don't believe him. And the guy himself is the biggest liar everybody knows in town. Yeah? You just go, what are you talking about? That's hypocrisy. If you're going to crawl down somebody's life with accusations about the thing that you're doing, but you're mad at them about, you are a hypocrite. And I'm going to tell you, if you want to find out what the world thinks about Christians, just listen to this. I have, Jocelyn and I know this man. He is now an evangelist, used to be a pastor up in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Got to know him very, very well. Had him down here to preach. His wife did a ladies thing for us several years ago. But now they left here, and now they're traveling ministers. And this guy's a great evangelist. I mean, he loves getting people saved. Got lots and lots of people in Cheyenne, Wyoming, saved in his church there. And here's what he said. He said, what I do is we put together a series of maybe 3 days of meetings in a city. But he said, we go around the city, and none of them are, you know, great big towns. Probably Greeley would be as big as he could do it. But he said, I'll get the church that I'm going to work with, I get a crew of people, and we just go around and we literally put our advertising in people's hands. Okay? So we don't send them mail. We literally go on the streets in the neighborhoods and we hand them the piece of paper, or they'll just throw it down there, Americans. Okay? If there's nothing free on there, then I throw it away. Okay? So anyway, he said, I would go up to people, you know, just in on the street, in the park, and he said, when I'd hand that to them, they would say, does this have to do with religion? And he'd say, yeah. And they go, throw it on the ground. And he said, how do I outsmart that? How do I do that? See, he's looking for wisdom. How can I get people to figure, to have a different expectation here? And so he said, I changed all my literature. And here's what I put. He said, I'll just say this. When he talks to people, he says, do you like religious people? No! No! Bunch of hypocrites. What we were just talking about. Bunch of hypocrites. And he says, I don't like them either. He goes, well, good. We're on the same page there. And he said, I tell him, I was over there in that thing until finally I met Jesus. And he said, I'd like to tell you about all the things Jesus has done for me if you'd like to come out and hear it. And he said, everything turned around. Said, man, people started saying, well, I like to know about Jesus. If you got something to say about him, I'd like to hear that. but I don't want to go to you stinking church. Amen. It's crazy, but it's true. So we have lots of wisdoms put together, and we got to figure them out in 5 minutes, but I can do it. Amen? Okay, here we go. When the Bible talks about a test, I want you to think in terms of a school test. A school test, all right? That test, if it happens to be your final exam, no matter what class you're in, no matter what grade you're in, if it's a final exam and you pass it, what happens? You graduate. So you go up, don't you? Because now you have a foundation that you, the teachers, all know. You've got the things that are going to be required for you to be able to be successful on down the line. All right? So understand, tests are about promotion. They are about graduation into another place. Last week we talked about at length Abraham's test. The Bible literally says it is a test when God told him to take his son Isaac to be sacrificed on the mountain. And he willingly did that because he was convinced, the Bible says it in the book of Hebrews, he was convinced that God would be able to bring him back from the dead. Because there's no place in the Bible that God ever said to sacrifice people anywhere else. Now, I want you to listen to this. I know it's hot in here. I know it's muggy in here. I am so sorry. But boy, is this important. Kenneth Hagin said this, and I about fell off my chair. You're liable to fall off your chair. But he said this. Sometimes God does some things that aren't in the Bible, and you're going to miss it if you try to find it in the Bible and it's not there. There are other times God does something that in the Bible is wrong. God never told anybody to sacrifice a human being. Amen. Human sacrifice was nada. Now, if you're Abraham, you've got to know the voice of God. You have to know that because he's telling you to do something that is nothing he ever told anybody to do and later on said, you better not do this. You do this and it's sin, buddy. And you're going, God's making me, what in the heck is this? What is going on? You got to know. You got to have the right kind of wisdom. Okay, and let me tell you, that is not like just going, well, this is right and this is wrong. Well, that's easy. This is intense. You got Isaac, who is going to be the next generation. He is the child of promise, and God, a voice, is telling you, you need to sacrifice him. And Abraham says, I'm going to obey the voice. Now I'm going to tell you, if you know anybody that knows anything about having a relationship with God, they're going to tell you, you got to stick with the word before you stick with a voice. And that's true until you know the voice. When you know the voice, then just keep seeking God. What do you mean? What do you mean? I believe the night before he took his son to sacrifice him, I believe with all my heart that he saw God's going to raise him from the dead. Because it says it. The Bible says it. If I cut his throat, God's going to raise him from the dead. Or God's going, and this is what God did, God's going to provide the lamb. Okay? And that is the right scripture. So here's what I want you to know. God, listen, God is a God who is always going to test us so that he can promote us. What's a trial? A trial is when the world system wants to grab something from you. You can pretty much boil it down to the world wanting to take something from you, or the world wanting to demean you so that you're less than they are. Yeah. The world system is the rich get richer, the talented get all the glory and the girls. Okay? Doesn't matter if you have an ounce of character, if you're rich and talented, you the man or you the girl. Okay? So their whole thing is selfish ambition. Selfish ambition. Selfish ambition. We gotta have something driving our life more than selfish ambition. We have to have wisdom. And the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The more you know the Lord, the more you're gonna fear him, because you know he is a great God. He's a great God. He's a powerful God. He just talks and creates stuff. So you're not afraid of him like you are, you know, getting cancer. You fear him because you reverence him, and you do not want to bother him in any way. You want him to be happy. Last thing is a temptation. A temptation is so easy because you know it's wrong. You know it's wrong. It's easy. It's the easiest one to know. This is a temptation from hell. Okay? You know that. But it's the hardest one because the devil knows your weakness. And he's going to give you a temptation where you're weak, not where you're strong. Okay? He's going to tempt you. And so you're going to go, actually, temptation's over there, I'm over here. That is wrong. That is wrong. That is wrong. That is really wrong. Whoa, that is really, really wrong. And then one of two things is going to happen. You're going to yield or your wife's going to find you. You guys are all sleepy. Let's end with that. Amen. Yeah. Tests come from God. Trials come from the world. Man, temptation comes from hell. So we got to figure out which one you're dealing with, and then God will give you wisdom And we'll tell you how he does it next week. Amen. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for this time together. Father, we thank you for the word bearing fruit all week long now in everybody's hearts. Father, let them understand that wisdom is the principal thing. And Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God.